Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're back with the Luke and Pete Show on a Thursday. Oh, I had too much spit in my throat there. I couldn't get through the intro. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Bone Dry Luke Moore. How are you doing, mate?
Hello. I feel reasonably well hydrated after the absolute debacle that was the outro to Monday's show where I got caught red-handed, Nalgene in my way around.
Red-handed. Well, blue-handed because your Nalgene flask is blue. Didn't you try and... CC Nalgene into a tweet.
So I want this show to be sponsored by Nalgene as passionately as you want it to be sponsored by Coolish.
Yeah, I've been on at Coolish on the old LeBron Japan kick, and they've launched some new flavors for the summer, Mandarin flavor and Calpis flavor as well, and I keep replying, and they will not. They're actually soliciting, like, where do you enjoy your Coolish? Where do you enjoy your eating your ice cream in a Capri Sun kind of packet? And I reply and I get nothing. I think I've been muted, Luke, to be honest.
Oh, you probably have. What was the second flavour there? It sounded like you said cow piss.
Cow piss, yeah. It's like it can sometimes be fizzy. It can sometimes not be fizzy. It's like a yogurt-flavoured soft drink. It's a little bit like a watery, slightly sweeter Yakult. It's delicious.
Okay. Why don't they export this delicious stuff to the UK?
You can buy it in Japanese supermarkets. It's just one of those flavours that people will probably go, oh, yogurt flavoured water, disgusting.
Is it expensive, Coolish, in the UK?
You can't buy Coolish in the UK. That's why I'm so furious.
That's what I've just said. Why don't they export it to the UK?
Oh, right. Okay. I mean, it's basically just soft serve ice cream in a Capri Sun packet. It's nothing special, but I've decided to brand myself with something underwhelming because I hate myself, as you've already discussed.
Yeah, you've basically nailed your colours to an underwhelming product, so you feel worse about yourself.
Yeah, it's half irony and half self-hate, and that's the Neapolitan. Actually, three flavours of Neapolitan, isn't there?
You just described the broadcasting career of Luke Moore. We have some interesting news, Pete. One is that shout out to everyone that pointed out that last week when we were trying to name the US states we visited, both of us forgot Illinois, despite us quite famously playing a live show in Chicago not 6 months ago, whenever it was.
Yeah, there is that, isn't it? We muffed up on that one.
Gives people an idea as to why we always repeat stories, because we don't know what we're doing. We have to have a system. What I have to do is I have to transport all the emails from the email inbox into a document. And I delete them as I go. Otherwise, we'll just end up reading the same emails all the time.
Oh, yeah, hugely. Hugely. I'm trying to go through the emails now to set up the second half of the show. I mean, we use a piece of software called Zencastr, not to get you through the curtains too much. And obviously, it's very much boom time for any tele-networking or tele-recording software. They're having what can only be described as a fucking lovely time financially. And there's a premium version of the product. There's a non-premium version of the product. And we're on the non-premium version of the product because we like to invest in ourselves.
No, they've waived the fee for the premium one, mate.
Yeah, well, they're very into me, not into me getting involved with the professional bit. They have, yeah, but it's really confusing. Anyway, if every time I log on to Zencaster, it asks me why I'm not interested in the professional version, because I just say no. And there's loads of different ways. It's like, it's too expensive. I'm not podcasting anymore. I'm tired. Leave me alone. I'm scared of the internet. There's all these little excuses you can give. And every time, whichever one you choose, about 5 minutes later, you get an email from the CEO of Zencaster saying, "Oi, why is our product too expensive?" Or, "Oi, why have you stopped podcasting?" Or, "Oi, why are you scared of the internet?" And all of my inboxes are just filled. Every last one of them is filled with just that. The CEO of Zencaster having a right old bitch.
Yeah. Pete, if we get banned from Zencaster, you do realise our business will finally go under. So that's a low percentage play by you. Well, listen, while you're doing that, listen, someone, Megan sent us this really interesting thing on Twitter as well. She sent us a website called weirdorconfusing.com. It's a great little thing. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
So basically, it's weird or confusing stuff currently for sale on eBay. And you click on a button and it gives you a randomly generated listed item.
Oh,
and the
nice.
Whole
That's
website
lovely.
Just says, "Sell me something weird or confusing, please." And you click on the button. So I'm going to click on the button right now.
Oh, yes.
And what
lovely.
I've got, it's great, right? Sizzling bacon, adhesive bandages in a collectible Band-Aid tin. So you can buy some plasters that look like a like rasher bacon. Of bacon.
I get offered those a lot on Instagram
Do
and
you?
Facebook. Yeah, it's one of those products that always comes up for me. That's very strange.
I've clicked on it again. The next thing I've been served up is a book, which is a million random digits, just in a book.
Right. What's that for then? Is that for like
no reason.
Competitions or, yeah. I mean, in random numbers is quite useful, isn't it? I mean,
next
up. Underpins a lot of computer programming.
Yeah, but I don't think that's why it's going to work.
Don't know why I said programming. It was enjoyable though.
Next up, Crafting with Cat Hair, a book on cute cut handicrafts to make with your cat. Does that make you feel sick?
That genuinely feels sick because this, I saw a post from somebody whose mum had snipped off her son's dreadlock and made kind of crocheted it into I'd probably call it, looked like a coaster of some kind. It looked disgusting. Yeah, so people make little models and stuff of cat hair, which just looks like compounded cat hair fluff balls. It's,
It's a bit weird. I mean, some people are very weird about
it's
hair,
It's utilitarian, but I just don't want cat. Well, I'm highly allergic to cats, so it would be, here's a comedy moustache. It's our cat hair. Oh, no, I'm dead.
Pete, aren't you allergic? You're still allergic to dogs as well, aren't you?
Yeah, although I did recently sign up to, not as bad as cats in any small way, but in any big way. But small way, big way, doesn't matter. Does not matter. Borrow my doggy. I sign up to borrow my doggy because I'm very lonely at the moment. And, it's like internet dating, I think. I just get every new day I get an email with a new sexy dog in my area.
Oh, Pete, I don't think you'll pass the, if you haven't passed the test for that, surely you need to be, people need to be screened for that type of service.
Apparently
surely you'd
not.
That.
Apparently. But anyone can own a dog. Anyone can own a dog and look after a dog, can't they? I mean,
Yeah,
but you only have to kill one dog and you're known as the dog killer of Soho, so. Which would replace all of my other nom de plumes.
I'd love it if the person who run that website listens to this show. The emails will stop like that. Yeah.
But the thing is, you'll get like emails with pictures of like puppies that could not be older than 6 weeks old. I'm sorry if you're bored of it already. You're in lockdown. You're not allowed to leave the house and your dog's 6 weeks old. 6 weeks old. You shouldn't have it. I am having your dog. I'll keep it. You know, you can't be trusted with it. Borrow my doggy, honestly.
Imagine getting to the stage.
Some beauts on there.
Imagine getting to the stage where it is a better arrangement for the dog to be living with you. You haven't even got a garden.
I've got a churchyard behind me. So have a bit of that.
By the way, changing trains slightly. Did you see, there's a good article on the BBC website about...
they don't like trains sometimes.
No, that's true, actually. but the events that have been cancelled due to the coronavirus lockdown...
Right. And extensive?
There are so many weird, eccentric British events. It's really brought it home for me. right. But for example, the Worm Charming Championships, which takes place in South Devon every May, has been cancelled.
Yeah. Look, if it's in Devon, roughly half of those events will involve blackface, so just cancel them every year, I'd say.
That's true. But I don't see why you need to socially distance with Worm Charming.
What do you mean? I said, like,
so the way it works is you get a 3 foot square patch of grass and you have to try to charm as many worms out as you can.
How do you charm them out?
Apparently just like
water, you'd imagine, wouldn't you?
Apparently the most popular way of trying to do it is to simulate the sound of rain.
Ah, okay. Pitter patter.
Yeah, so people do tapping on the ground, potentially that kind of stuff.
And they climb out.
Yeah, apparently. Another one, the shin kicking contest in the Cotswolds, that's been cancelled.
Oh, that doesn't sound like much fun.
I'd love to have a fucking go at you at that.
What do you mean?
I'll just give you a right old kicking.
Yeah, but my shin pads are so tiny when I play football, and I've probably played in the last 10 years more games of football than you, so they're quite calloused, I would say. There's a lot of weird lumps on my shins that would protect me naturally anyway, so...
I still take my chances.
All right, cool.
By the way, the annual shin kicking competition or whatever it's called, it's been going in the same place in the Cotswolds since 1612.
Next to a hospital?
I'd hope so, but apparently steel toe caps are banned.
So what is it, just kicking each other in the shin? Like, just you would still break people's shins, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably. It's probably
horrible.
People.
I remember I gave Jim Campbell from the Ramble, one really bad one, which he didn't recover from for quite a while. That was just in a building, it wasn't even on a football field.
I know what that was for. That was because we were making a video in your office and it involved you having to slide tackle someone and we tried to simulate it and you got way too into it and it ended up almost snapping Jim in half, basically.
Well, he saw me coming. He could have, you know, jumped over and sort of, you know, made the most of the tackle. But the thing you forget about Jim is that if I was going to bet who gets run over by a car first, it would be Jim, because he's just not got any spatial awareness. He's got some kind of inner ear thing that prevents him from dealing with life. And I was life at that point, and I hurt his shin.
Yeah, and it did look very painful. He hit the deck like a ton of bricks. It was hilariously funny. Let me just end this little section on a more sort of somber note. You will, of course, be aware, as will all our listeners, about the cheese rolling race in Gloucestershire, which happens every year. You know that one, Pete?
They roll a cheese down. Broken legs. It's like, you know, another stir on the NHS. Needless broken legs because that we used to do something and it's tradition.
Yeah.
We have to do it. We have to keep doing it or we'll die.
Yeah. I'm going to ignore the politically loaded comment there. So they chuck a big wheel of cheese down Cooper's Hill in Brockworth in Gloucestershire, right? Mm. And they can't do it this year because people have to socially distance, of course. But it's happened every year for centuries. So one of the organisers is just going to roll a single solitary cheese down the hill on the morning of the 25th of May, whenever it is. And that's going to be that.
Divorcee.
Brexit Britain. You're welcome to it.
Yeah, that is the most pathetic thing I have ever heard in my life.
What would you do instead?
Just understand that it doesn't fucking matter and there's bigger things and it's a waste of fucking cheese. It'll probably get a nick. You won't want to eat it after that. Fuck it.
You old romantic.
Pathetic.
Anyway, our friend Lee sent that in. Thank you very much, Lee, for making us aware of that. And I'm sorry Pete didn't get into the spirit of it more, but what can you do?
I didn't roll with it, let's say.
No, exactly. Let's have a little break, Peter. Then when we come back, we'll do some more emails. We'll clear up all this email business.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Skitchin. Do you have a skitchin?
No.
That was quite a big deal. Skitchin. It was certainly a video game, but being a young English boy, I assumed all of the teenagers of the US were skitchin all the time. You know the bit in Back to the Future where Marty McFly is on his skateboard and he grabs hold of the back of a car to propel himself through the town square. That's, I believe, Skitchin.
Where's this come from?
Well, there's a video game called Skitchin. And that's what you had to do. You just grab on the back of cars. And whenever I saw anybody do it in town, I would go, wow, that guy's Skitchin. But you obviously had to hide from the driver, because the driver obviously wouldn't want you grabbing all of their spoiler or the back of their car. Skitchin! But no one talks about Skitchin no more.
It's very true. Have you ever done it?
I've never done it, now, but I have been playing a lot of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater while I've been in isolation.
So that's a British tradition you'd like to see maintained then, Skitchin.
Oh, Skitchin. I think we should do more Skitchin. And it's easy to do now that there are fewer cars on the road. I might buy a skateboard, because that's the kind of midlife crisis that would suit me, down to the ground, and do some skitching around Soho.
I think listeners everywhere will be stunned to know that you don't already own a skateboard.
Yeah, surprising. I own many fabulous things, but old typewriters, old reel-to-reel recorders, a few Apple iMacs from the late 90s, and a button from a Jubilee line train, but I don't own a skateboard.
And loads of things that you've taken apart and so can no longer sell on eBay.
Yeah.
Peter, I did also.
Speaking of, we spoke about eBay in the first half of this podcast, didn't we? One of the things that I was looking for, I was thinking, could I buy an aircraft on eBay? I couldn't find one. I found one sort of kit airplane that was It was out of license because it hadn't been MOT'd or whatever the plain version of MOT is. But there was this bloke in, I think, Bristol who, you know, still potters around in it every now and again. So you could buy a plane for about, I think it was 40 grand. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And you don't need a full pilot's license for it because it's quite a light little plane. But you could buy a drone weighing scale, a big scale that you can put a big, you know, killing machine drone on it. That's out like, and it's about like 50 grand. It's huge.
In the list of, in the interior kind of mental list I've got of the most likely ways you will die, crashing a self-built plane would probably be, or a plane you bought off the internet, I think would be higher on your list than anyone else's, I'd say.
Okay, fair dues.
My dad sends me. Yeah, that's exactly right. My dad sends me eBay listings and things he's seen in the paper, photos of planes for sale quite a lot. Like more than I ever expected he would.
You assume that you couldn't just go, who wants to buy a plane? But turns out you can. Just buy a plane.
Yeah, well, it's got to be sold somewhere. I mean, how did they sell them before the internet? They probably must have had some kind of version of Auto Trader, did they?
But you'd think the rules of the air, bearing in mind that if a plane goes down, you could crash into a building and kill lots of people. You'd think that there would be some universal body that would come round, inspect your plane for defects / electrical wiring problems / fuel line problems, and then give it the clean bill of health and give you the license to sell it onto some other unsuspecting person. Because I was talking to Chris Broad from Abroad in Japan this week, or maybe last week, and he was saying that to buy a car in Japan, the police or some policeman with the most unlucky job ever, the most unlucky posting ever, has to come round your house and measure your parking space before you're allowed to buy a certain size of car.
That's unreal.
Incredible? Isn't that amazing? I mean, in Japan, there's overemployment. I mean, everyone's got a job. There's very little unemployment in Japan because of this kind of. What was that thing in the US did it in the 50s, didn't they? Where everybody had to have a job, and there was overemployment, and it kind of stimulated the economy because people were buying stuff. They've got that in Japan, so some people just have these weird jobs that don't exist anywhere else. But yeah, a policeman comes around, and there's not a lot of crime in Japan to investigate, obviously, Yeah, they go around and just measure the size of your parking space.
On the other side of the coin, yeah, have you seen that video of those mad old libertarians in the US? And there was like some kind of conference where they're trying to vote for or choose a leader to represent the libertarians at the upcoming presidential election.
Yeah.
And they're on a panel and there's some candidates. And one of them gets into a huge amount of controversy because he says that people should have to have driving licenses. And everyone's going, no, right. Boo. And he's going, hang on, guys. I think we can all agree that to drive a car, we should be able to display some kind of competency so that we don't get out. And everyone's going, no way, boo. Yeah. Like that. It's amazing.
If I'm driving a car, heaven forfend, the somebody is surely going to infringe on my liberties by being a maniac, being able to control their vehicle.
It's almost like a political philosophy that doesn't actually exist when it survives any kind of contact with the real world. Because heaven forbid that one person's idea of, in quotes, freedom would impinge on someone else's idea of freedom and the whole thing crumbles to dust instantly. Who would have thought it?
That's why the Republicans are so fucking batshit at times. And certainly in a crisis like coronavirus, they're all like, we should be allowed to do what we want. Yeah, if you want everyone to fucking die, brilliant. Yeah, well, everyone should have the right to die. Well, no, that's not exactly fair, is it?
But that's why you get, surely if you were living in like an entirely libertarian society, you would then be able to do something like build your own plane, just fly it wherever you fucking want. And yes, you would almost certainly die instantly. Anyway,
Rocket Man died, didn't he? He was a libertarian, wasn't he?
He was a flat earther as well.
Oh yes, that's that. Sorry, yeah, he probably wasn't a libertarian. Probably was a flat earther. And he was a flat earther, and he crashed his.
He flew his own rocket to try and prove that the Earth was flat, and then died.
He'd done a couple of test flights. Obviously, he'd done it before. He broke his back on one of them. So.
Yes, I think I'll proceed with this.
I think I'll probably proceed with the situation, yeah.
Yeah. So how did it go? It went okay. I broke my back. So, all right, so that's the end of that, is it? No, I'm doing another one next week. Right.
I'll tell you what should be enclosing my libertarianism. I'm in the middle of town, and pubs, 50 million pints are apparently going to go to waste this summer.
That is a scandal.
If they don't close a lockdown, I should be allowed to go to any pub and just say, "Give us a barrel." You're not going to use it.
No, a proper libertarian would be brewing his own beer.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
so think about that. Yeah, all right. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com is the email section. A very short email section today now because of that nonsense.
Sorry.
No, it's both of our fault. Lewis Stone has been in touch saying, hi, chaps. After hearing the MSN Messenger talk, I thought I would share my own experience of it. Ooh. After nagging my mum to finally have internet ordered for our house back in the heady days of 2005. What were you doing in 2005, Peter?
Probably on the internet.
Yeah, I was rather impatient and couldn't wait, said Lewis. I remember I had an AOL disc offering 1 month's free dial-up broadband, which had been sitting in the cupboard for around 2 years. Were they still dishing out those CD-ROMs in 2003, Pete?
Oh, yeah, even later than that.
Okay, great. Lewis says, without my parents' knowledge, I signed up. I was 15 at the time. I faked my details. And with my stupidity, I didn't realise I was signing up to a 2-year contract, which was later cancelled due to my age. Fraud, I guess, but this only adds to the weight of how important this all was. The very evening after signing up, I was speaking to a friend on MSN. And she was at another friend's house and they were just about to switch accounts. Add me on theirs, I asked. Little did I know how important that flippant comment would be. From there, I speak to the newly added person on my MSN Messenger post-school evenings. We chat for a couple of months. I pluck up the courage to ask her out on a first date, and she agreed. First date, classic cinema, meet up a few times, and the rest is history. 15 years later, we are married and living a very happy life together. Moral of the story, sometimes being impatient rewards you with a big life win. RIP MSN Messenger, Lewis Stone.
I think that is the feel-good story we need in these troubled times. Fantastic. You've got mail. It's your future wife.
Yeah, this
lovely old job.
This show is good at basically just telling mundane stories, but end up being little gems in this flotsam and jetsam of the life tide that comes and goes. Yeah. In my head, that was a bit more sort of eloquent, but that didn't really work.
Yeah, and then listen
goes sometimes.
Back. Yeah, well, keep us updated. It might all go to shit.
Let us know when you get divorced.
Luke, Reese has got in touch. Conspiracy is the title of his email.
Right.
I messaged before about the official status of Taiwan, then also about a horse sex video. Anyway, met a former US Marine living in the Philippines who thinks the world is flat. Bit odd. We'll monitor. Cheers. Luke Reese.
Thanks, mate.
It's got a lot in there. Look, if you're going to just concatenate all of your emails into one big chunk, I'll read them out. All right? It's efficiency.
There was a great situation for me late last week where I got a message on Instagram. Someone asking why I muted them on Twitter. And then I was like, I just ignored it. And then this morning, my friend who saw a reply to one of my tweets from the same guy that obviously I didn't see because I muted him, and it just said, just told me to suck a dick. So what do you want out of this, mate? You're complaining that I've muted you. And even if I think about unmuting you, you're telling me to go and suck a dick, in quotes. So is that what I want in my Twitter account? Not really.
Well, as soon as we click stop on this recording, I'm going to check out who this ledge is and befriend him immediately.
His name was Don Peterson.
Hello to Alec Lodge, which sounds like a lovely place to spend a night. If you'd like another odd story and potential topic of conversation, here's this one. A few years ago, I went and picked up a Chinese takeaway. A couple of men's rice and crispy seaweed. Don't judge, I like it. A girl in front of me picked her order up, just lemon chicken.
Right.
Feel free to judge away, says Alec. When I got home, I found my crispy seaweed was missing, but I had an unwanted lemon chicken. I can only assume that poor girl had gone home with a solitary box of crispy seaweed. She must have been fuming. Keep up the great work. Loving the show. Alec Lodge in Essex. Now, not the most interesting email. There was extra bits to it, Alec's email, but this was one I wanted to focus on. Is it genuinely accepted that crispy seaweed is disgusting?
My sister always, I mean, as you well know, I'm not really a huge fan of Chinese takeaway, but whenever we have it as a family, my sister always orders seaweed. I'm going to show my own ignorance here. I mean, is it actually seaweed or is it just shredded cabbage?
No, it's seaweed. Yeah, no, it's definitely crispy seaweed, just fried, really thin.
Texturally, I quite like it. Yeah.
Yeah. And the powder they put on top. It's a little bit meaty, a little bit sweety, a little bit sweety, a little bit soury.
A little bit naughty.
And I like that. I just find it all delicious. Like lemon chicken's delicious. But the deep fried seaweed is bloody lovely. What's wrong with a bit of deep fried seaweed, Alec?
It just reminds me of the bin? It reminds me of The Sopranos when they keep getting his Chinese order wrong and he keeps getting annoyed about it and he keeps getting told to check it before the guy goes, but he never remembers.
Can we get to the bottom of this, Luke? Have you been watching The Sopranos again recently? Because you have mentioned The Sopranos on 7 separate podcasts I've listened to lately. Yeah, are you going through them again?
Mimi's not seen it, so we're watching them together.
We're
actually almost finished.
Sense.
We've only got a season and a bit left. But one thing I didn't realise about The Sopranos is that it's just so funny. Like, it's legitimately one of the funniest shows ever made, even though it doesn't set out to... I mean, obviously, it does set out to be funny because it's really well written, but it's not listed as a comedy, of course. And it's really, really funny. But there's a new podcast with Michael Imperioli, who plays Christopher Moltisanti, and Stephen Shiripa, who plays Bobby Bacalar. They've done a show together, just started, called Talking Sopranos, where they go for every episode. And it's like that one you were recommending about the US Office.
Yeah, the office women, office ladies.
Yeah, but these two are just so funny, like intentionally and unintentionally, because they've absolutely got no broadcasting chops whatsoever because they're actors. So they just sit there just chatting shit. So they'll just sometimes it's still a really compelling listen, but sometimes an episode will literally just be Michael Imperioli listing actors, like listing actors' names and going, great actor, next name, great actor. Next name, great actor. He was in that thing with me. Great actor. Writer, great writer. That's all it is, but it's still absolutely compelling because their voices are so fucking good.
And if you'd like to write that in our iTunes review, you're free to do that as well, yeah.
I'd love to do a role reversal.
On the office ladies, on the office ladies, give us an office, yeah, it is office ladies. Office ladies? Whatever it is.
Oh, you're trying to be woke again, aren't you?
I'm literally trying to remember the name of the podcast. Office Ladies, yeah. Most of the emails, I've probably mentioned on this before, most of the emails are just people going, that bit you said made up on the spot? Was it an improv? Like people in America who seem to listen to this podcast, every single last one of them seem to think that this is how a TV show is made. They cast all of the parts, they put them in a room, and they just go, speak.
Yeah.
Make the TV show, and they do it for 2 weeks, and out comes an episode instead of painstakingly rewriting lines. They think because the actors have some improv chops that the director and the showrunner and the writers all just go, you know what, guys, you just get on with that. We'll have a tab. You just do the episode. disrespectful to the creative process of making a TV show. I just keep on getting angry about it.
But doesn't it depend, though? Because I think, you might have set yourself up for a bit of a fall here because some TV shows work in that way. So I'm pretty sure that Shane Meadows and Larry David, for example, they will say, this is the start of the scene. This is where we need to get to. And here are some pointers. But they do a lot of improv stuff in the middle. Now, I know, because I've heard the Sopranos guys talking about it, that apart from the pilot episode, there's absolutely no... ad hoc stuff, ad libbing stuff at all in it. It's really tightly written. But I don't think every show is like that, particularly not comedies.
There are, no. I would say 99% massively incorrect. And especially like the Larry David thing is a very good example. And that is the example people will bring up. But Larry David and his cabal of people, they do have pointers and they do have a beginning, a middle, and an end to a scene. But the situation is that has already been workshopped 1,000 times and worked out how it starts, where the thread's going, where's the scene going to be set, who's going to be in it, who's cast as this person, who's cast as that person. So it is already, by the time you start the cameras running, whether it's completely improvised or not, there is so much work that's gone into that before the any improvisation is even approached. You know who your character is. You know what reasons you have to say the things that you're saying. It's so well worked out even before you give any actors any scope for any for trialing anything out. And it's way more rigid than you think, especially when you've got time concerns, you're filming on location, time is money. It just drives me wild that A, it disrespects the people who spend days and weeks and months and years putting a TV show together, and it also disrespects the actors as well, in that they can't deliver material written by someone else. It does my fucking nutting, Luke.
Well, Jeff
I don't
Garland,
know why I'm so angry about it.
Jeff Garland says with Curb Your Enthusiasm, there's a paragraph about each scene, and that's it.
Well, fine. That will be
there's,
one.
There's
of,
no writing, basically.
There will be. That is
bit,
one
it's
example.
A bit embarrassing
of,
for you, isn't it? That a bit embarrassing.
Well, the one example. It's like saying, oh, Paul Kitson and I don't know, Cristiano Ronaldo. They both scored a goal, didn't they?
Where's
they
this
both
going?
Scored a goal. They both scored a goal. Well, they both scored a goal. So you know, they're very. I'm losing my thread a little bit here. Probably be best to end the podcast, but I'll work it out. I'll come back on Monday and I will work out why Paul Kitson is like Cristiano Ronaldo.
There are worldwide famines that have not got you angrier than this. All I did was list one series that does improv. That's it. That's
one.
All I wanted to say.
Exactly. Because that's the only one. That's the only one. Everything is written. Everything.
I think I'm
did
just going to do a...
Did Jim wear his own clothes for this scene? Why? Why would he wear his own clothes? They've got a budget. They've got a person to fucking sew their clothes together. Oh,
I'm
idiot.
I'm just going to fade this episode out. So you could just stop it now, mate.
Bye, everyone. We'll see you on Monday.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.